He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday, January the 6th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, a veteran of the 2000 NASDAQ.com bubble crash. And I've got Barry Kite here with me, a chartered financial analyst who understands discount rates and yield curves and what's going on, long duration stocks. And we're at it again today. The Dow is right now down 187. It hit a new high 2 days ago, but now all of a sudden it's under heavy pressure after the minutes yesterday from the Fed. The Dow down 196 right now, 36,210. The S&P is now down 23 points to 4676. It saw new highs just 2 days ago, but that's in the rearview mirror now. The real trouble, Barry, the NASDAQ, where you find those long-duration stocks and Kathy Woods running for cover. She's got to be down in the trenches with the battle helmet on. With incoming fire, you know, all around her, the NASDAQ is down another 155 today. It's under 15,000. That was support. It's at 14,942. But that only tells part of the story. It's that NASDAQ that's way out there, the frontier NASDAQ that just continues to get slaughtered. She was down 7% yesterday, down another 2.5% today, while the NASDAQ's down just 1%. Russell 2000 is up. What gives there? The small caps are up a little bit today. Gold is down 31. Silver's down 91 cents. Where's the real action today? The oil markets. You've got oil up again, hitting today 70. Let's see, where is my oil quote?
Yeah, 79.44.
Holy cow, closing in on 80.
It's the only green. It popped out because it's the only green on the board.
That oil and Bitcoin continues to get murdered. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show. If there are any, there's certainly some best inverse ETFs right now, which continue to do well with our SARK. S-A-R-K is inverse ARK. And, man, that thing's been a good investment. As the ARK funds, I predicted, don't look at me and say, you never said this was coming. I said, you know what? Last February was the time to get out of that stuff. And she continued to double down on it. Even today, she's still buying that stuff. What stuff am I talking about? Well, you know, the transformational, the future stocks that are way out there on the curve. The long duration stocks with high price to sales ratios that someday might be profitable, space exploration, battery charging companies, flying robo taxis. Wow, that stuff is just coming unraveled. And I don't know that it's any different from what I witnessed in the year 2000 with the unwinding of the dot-com bubble. And now it's starting to spread to, you know, more of the mainstream NASDAQ. I saw yesterday Adobe getting slaughtered.
Google.
ServiceNow. Google had a bad day. Facebook's under pressure. Maybe we'll call it the Apple $3 trillion top, huh? Maybe that was the signal. Apple hit $3 trillion for a little bit on Monday. But at the same time, you know, the low PE stocks, the inverse funds, the oil patch, the energy stocks, you know, it's all about being in the right places in the market. And even though this is a very, very rocky market at best, it did open to the upside. And I sent out a message. I said, you know, it may be up right now, but this market is very, very fragile. And I suppose, you know, it was new highs on Monday in the Dow and in the S&P, but the NASDAQ opened the year very wobbly, especially that Frontier NASDAQ, and it continues to be very wobbly. I looked at the chart of the 10-year interest rates, which are at 1.73 right now. You know, last year they got to 1.75, and that's as high as they got. That proved to be resistance, but you know what, Barry? I don't think it's going to hold. I think that 1.75, just looking at a chart, it looks very vulnerable to me, that resistance level. I don't think it's going to hold, and I think the interest rates are going to crash through that 1.73 and head maybe on up to 1.85 and towards the 2 area, as the Fed indicated in their minutes. Now, I guess when Jerome Powell made the announcement that last week of December, you know, he tried to sound pretty dovish. We're not going to do anything drastic. But I guess the notes yesterday, the minutes that came out, added a lot more color to the conversation and the discussion that they had, right? That somebody records the minutes, you know, of the meeting. And he didn't really get into the bloody details back in the late December, but the minutes showed that there was a lot of discussion of how they're pretty nervous, I would say, number one, especially about the inflation picture. Number two, they're very anxious to start decreasing their balance sheet. And number three, you may see more interest rate hikes. I saw Jeremy Siegel yesterday predict 8 interest rate hikes this year.
Kind of the most that we saw, at least, you know, just only a month or two ago. And I think the Fed mentioned, you know, potentially 3, you know, and they, you know, if you look at last time, I saw a chart of kind of the last interest rate raising cycle, which was under Powell as well. You know, roughly a quarter point, right, at a time, pretty lockstep, right, from meeting to meeting. And so, you know, I kind of, you know, picture that. It, you know, I think what spooked the market yesterday was the fact that, you know, they can control rates a couple of different ways. One is selling off their balance sheet, and so you're putting more bonds out there, which, those prices go down, which creates the yield to go up. Or you can raise the Fed funds rate. And it, you know, I think yesterday it was, hey, we're, you know, looking at the main tool of raising rates, right, versus kind of selling off the balance sheet. Because it's selling off the balance sheet, it's a little more, you know, under the veil, right, of everything, right? You can't really, you know, you don't really see it. It's not out in front, right, versus, you know, raising a quarter point. The market knows you raised a quarter point. So
yeah, the market wasn't too concerned about tapering, but now those rate hikes, okay, which could come sooner rather than later and more than originally expected. And now you got to say that the biggest worry that the market has is the Fed. The Fed has now become the number one worry on the worry wall. But you know what? Here's another thought I had. These technology funds, they have to stay invested in technology stocks, the Fidelity Technology Fund or the T. Rowe Price. And there's a lot of technology funds. I think they're just going to go into lower P.E. technology. I'm seeing stocks like Hewlett-Packard and Western Digital and Seagate Technologies and Micron, which have PEs of 12 or 13. If you've got a fund that has to be invested in technology, it only makes sense to
Look at a chart
rotate.
Of IBM. Yeah. Have you seen IBM's chart lately?
And AT&T they can pawn those off as tech stocks, I suppose. AT&T, Verizon, because they're 5G. Qualcomm, all these 12 and 13, 14 P.E. ratio tech stocks, they can still say, hey, we're invested in tech. We're just not invested in that high tech, high tech with high P.E. ratios anymore. So that's one of the dynamics that's taking place. The NASDAQ was bloodied yesterday. It was down 522 points. And that doesn't even tell the story, because there are two NASDAQs. There's the NASDAQ 100, which is a very small representation of the NASDAQ. And then you go out beyond that, and you're getting into, you know, that second tier, the frontier NASDAQ. It was down 6 or 7% yesterday. ARK was down 7.2% yesterday. And even today with the NASDAQ down less than 1%, Kathy Woods is down 3.3% again today. I mean, she has got a meltdown. And Barry, we called it yesterday, you called it this morning. She has a run on the bank. I mean, people are calling up and saying, get me out of ARK. And she's got to sell the underlying stocks, the Teladocs, the Rokus, even the Teslas. And those stocks are just getting slaughtered. You know, she caused a lot of this on the way up, and now she's right at the center of it on the way down in these frontier stocks. We'll be right back. Second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show, in what has been a dramatic start to 2022 in the markets, especially in the high PE tech arena, and the big jump in interest rates. At 1.73, we're up 22 basis points since the start of the year. Now, part of that could be the Fed unloading, you know, dumping some bonds onto the market. I think another part of it was the Omicron kind of fading and people moving out of the bond market there for a while. Maybe they're moving back in again as a flight to safety. But, you know, we've 23 basis points is quite a bit. That does quite a bit to the discount rate. The discount rate goes up quite a bit. And that really hammers long duration stocks that may be profitable a few years from now. Okay, that lowers their valuation considerably, and that's a big part of the sell-off you're seeing. But the second part of that sell-off is it feeds on itself. You know, all of a sudden when you've got these ETFs that have to are getting all these redemptions, Barry. I mean, it's not just ARK. There's a lot of other frontier-type ETFs that are invested in that stuff. They've got to sell the underlying stocks. And someone wrote to me, says, well, I see the buys every day that she's making. Well, she has to report the buys she's making. I guess the redemptions are just the normal course of business, and they don't really list those sells that she has to make to meet the redemptions. But that's all you have to do is look at her top 10 holdings and how they are just absolutely imploding. Roku, Teladoc, and many other of her top holdings. Well, I think the headline from yesterday, Fed policymakers prefer rate changes, which is what you were saying, versus balance sheet actions to achieve goals. Okay, he didn't say that in late December. That was down there in those Fed minutes, and I think that's the thing that really shook up the market yesterday. The market was already wobbly yesterday. Then when those Fed minutes came out, you know, it just kerplunk. By the end of the day, the NASDAQ yesterday was down 522 points, and the S&P 500 was down 93 points. Now, we own some inverse ETFs that are doing very, very well. I mean, the most vulnerable areas of the market, just think about it. You're obviously not going to go inverse on the energy stocks. You're not going to go inverse on the industrials. It's the high-flying stuff that is the most vulnerable, and those are the areas that we've been picking on as we kind of saw this coming. We saw it coming last February, and we rotated out, never got back into the high flyers. I mean, she still owns Zoom Technology, which is pretty amazing. the work from home stock that was in the right place at the right time. Then all of a sudden it was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Yeah, it just amazes me that she still owns stuff like that. Okay, well, tech ETF sink yesterday alongside the NASDAQ as yields climb higher. ARKK was down 7.6% yesterday, while the QQQ was down just 3%. So you can see, I mean, you can't really just look at the NASDAQ 100 and that doesn't tell the whole picture. And
rates
of course,
rates everywhere are going up. You know, just came through in terms of mortgage rates are the highest they've been in 20 months. 30-year is up to, still sounds low, but up to 3.22% on the 30-year. So, and we started, you know, I think last week, around 3.11. So that's already, an 11 basis point, rise in a pretty quick time period.
Yeah, one thing I noticed when I was doing the newsletter last Thursday and Friday, you know, every week I update a few of the key bond markets around the world, global bond markets like Germany, of course, Italy and Greece, which at one time was the center of a major hurricane that hit the market. So I keep my eye on those. I noticed all of a sudden very quietly, yields around the world jumped last week, last Thursday and Friday as we were ending the year. That has not happened in a long time. And that to me was a little bit of a wake-up call and a warning sign that we may see global interest rates around the globe begin to rise. We're certainly seeing energy prices rising and inflation kicking in. Bitcoin is just getting hammered. Look, you do what you want to do with Bitcoin. I've been warning you about Bitcoin. It's just getting slaughtered. Where is Bitcoin right now? 42,000?
42 was one of, is somewhere around where it's moved a bit. It's moved pretty good.
Look, all those millennials are going to have to go back to work. You know,
yeah, it's almost 43,000 now. It was down over 8% at some point. It's just now a tick under, right, you know, essentially right at down 8% at the moment, down 3,700.
And that's another one of her biggest holdings is that stupid Coinbase. Oh, look at the chart on Coinbase. That's just getting slaughtered, slaughtered. From 369 down to 227. Another one I was thinking of, Robinhood, another one of her big holdings. That thing's hitting a new low. That thing got up to, what, $100 a share? Now it's $15 per share. Moderna, even Moderna, which, you know, was in the right place at the right time, and one of the biggest winners of all time, Moderna's gone from 500 to 208. Maybe they'll kick it out. That was one of the fastest trips into the S&P 500 I've ever seen. And now the stock has lost, you know, about more than half of its value since then.
Yeah, 60-something percent, I believe.
I'll give you another one from 2020, GameStop, GME. Look at the chart on GameStop. It's finally, the fundamentals are finally catching up with it. It's still way overvalued. It's still 127 a share, but it was 344 last year. $344 per share in May of 2021. And now it's $127 per share. The shorts
expected to lose $1.69 a share, you know, in the coming quarter, I believe.
Yep. Teladoc falls 7% as the stock hits a 52-week low. Okay, let's check. That was yesterday. Let's check in on it today. Ugly, down another 3.4%. We sold Teladoc for a huge gain. Teladoc got as high as $300 per share, and now it's 82. From 300 down to 82. You're telling me this isn't reminiscent of the year 2000, which many people were there, including myself, seeing the dot-com meltdown? This is, I don't know, we'll have to come up with another, well, the meme stock meltdown, for sure. We've seen the meme stocks meltdown. Now, here's a tale of two stocks. Teladoc hitting a new low, getting crushed. What's hitting a new high today? AbbVie, which has a PE of 12. Let's see, ABBV PE ratio 11. And Teladoc doesn't even have a PE ratio. It's a tale of two markets. Which one do you want to be in? This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. With the Dow down 77, the NASDAQ has just gone positive by a little bit, 16. But it is very, very volatile right now. Okay, we got to talk about Kazakhstan. Wow, what's going on in Kazakhstan? Well, you know what? Kazakhstan has huge deposits of oil, gold, and it holds 40% of the world's uranium. And where did all those Bitcoin miners go when they were kicked out of China, Barry? Well, they went
over
across
the
border.
Yep.
And, yeah. And so here we are, massive riots in Kazakhstan. The government has resigned, kind of, but they have a strongman government that they've had ever since they separated from the USSR. The airport has been captured, and they shut down the internet. Guess what that does to the block to the Bitcoin miners?
It doesn't work. It doesn't work.
Nope.
At that point.
It does not work without the internet. That's another thing you have to worry about by being an investor in Bitcoin. And of course, the Bitcoin mining itself is very energy intensive, and Kazakhstan has a lot of coal-fired utilities that are running Bitcoin mining machines. You know, that's another big knock against Bitcoin. It's not good for the environment. Kazakhstan is the world's third largest player in the coin mining industry. But I worry even more about the uranium that is there. You know, you got all these countries that all of a sudden want to, you know, kiss and make up with nuclear, and it takes uranium. And the uranium prices yesterday were escalating as the riots escalated, with 40% of the global uranium supply hanging in the balance. This seems to be a year of energy prices, and that's what they're rioting about. What's causing the riots? Doubling in
a raising
their
fuel. Yeah, raising fuel prices, and I saw where the where Putin's putting, you know, is or Russian troops are headed there, or at least has offered troops up to help the current government. So it's another one of those hotbeds around, you know, around the globe that we that we've, you know, kind of almost become the norm, at least over the last few months.
Yeah,
or so.
We're just becoming numb to it all because there's so many of them. And, you know, also the oil that they have there. I got to believe that part of this rise in oil prices, and that is, without a doubt, that's the number one sector in the market today. I'm just looking at the best performers in the S&P 500, Murphy Oil, Hess, Apache, Helmerich & Payne, Marathon, Occidental Petroleum, and Devon Energy are the best performers in the S&P 500. Over at the NASDAQ, it's a few Chinese stocks, which I have no interest in. But interestingly enough, the two tech leaders right now are Western Digital and Micron. And what do they have in common?
When was the last time? When was the last time that those two were the tech leaders?
Right? Yeah, I can still remember having a Western Digital disk drive on my desk, you know, back in the year 2000. It was this big giant thing, you know, and now they're these tiny little things. Western Digital, I'll tell you what they have in common. Western Digital has a P.E. ratio of 11, which goes along with my theory that these tech funds they still got to buy tech. Micron has a PE of 13, and Micron's hitting a new 52-week high today. So if you got to own tech, that's cool. you know, just do a screen and find low PE tech. Now, you're not going to find that in Frontier Tech. You're not even going to find a PE because there's no E. You have to have an E to have a PE. And, you know, the only thing you can look at in a lot of those Frontier Tech stocks is the price-to-sales ratio, which is a big part of the app. Now, we were talking up price-to-sales ratios a little under a year ago, late January and early February of last year, when that interest rate started to take off like they are now. But all of a sudden, COVID got worse, okay, and the lockdowns came along, and that kind of artificially held down. And I think the Fed probably went into, a mode of trying to keep the economy from going in the tank by buying up bonds and whatnot. But that seems to be all exhausted now. It seems to be, you know, not only are they not buying, they're shrinking. They're selling into the market. And that's part of the rise of interest rates. And like I said, if you look at a chart of the 10-year right now, TNX, dollar sign TNX is the chart I use. It's just right there at that breakout point, which is 1.75. I think it's going to break out. I can't really see anything holding it back. So all it takes is the Fed unloading one more tranche of bonds, Barry, and there right. She goes, right through 1.75, know.
And I'm interested to see when the carry trade from, the old carry trade days of, you know, borrowing in yen, right, and buying U.S. treasuries, it's interesting. It kind of kicked in around that 1.75 level last time. It'd be interesting to see where that level is this time, because with the different Fed, yep. stance, right, naturally you would think that rate, you know, could end up going higher before
it's
you
gonna
have
go higher.
Buying, so.
And now we've been looking at TBT, okay? TBT is inverse the long bond, the 20-year, twice inverse. So not only are you going out where the trouble is on the long end of the curve, you're getting double your pleasure, double your fun down there. Ultra short, now that's TBT. That's an excellent chart right now, and I think it goes higher than I mentioned to you yesterday. I always look at that inverse junk bond, which is SJB. That thing popped yesterday, because you got to believe – you know, we were looking at these low-quality, long-duration tech stocks, floating bonds at like 4%, 3.5% to 4%. You know that that's got to blow up at some point in time. I think the junk bond market. Hey, have we said anything positive yet today? We got to maybe
oil,
in the final
oil's
segment.
Up. Oil
oil's
up.
Doing well. Low PE, Western Digital, Micron. We own several of those low PE stocks right now. But you know what? I'm just saying that there's a half of the market that is so vulnerable, and it's just coming unwound right now. And then there's another half of the market, you know, that's doing just fine. So choose your sides wisely here in 2022. But SJB is the inverse. And you can look at, like the long, look at JNK, which is the junk bond, a big junk bond fund, $9.3 billion. That thing got clobbered yesterday, just pasted. It's settled down somewhat today, but I got to believe that junk bond market. Okay, then you got stocks like Cleveland Cliffs, which we talked about yesterday, Nucor. It seems to me, too, that the other thing that you can't hold back are these commodity prices. I don't care if it's oil. I don't care if it's natural gas. That's what they use in Kazakhstan. They use liquid natural gas. And the price has doubled on those people. And, of course, you can invest in companies that make liquid natural gas. LNG is up today. LNG is expected to make $8.90 per share this year. With a $107 price on the stock, that's only, what, 13 times forward earnings on Cheniere Energy, LNG. So you know what? It just points out the cyclicality. The market is cyclical. In 2020, the cycle and the place to be was the red hot, just anything. People were home. They were locked down, and they were playing stocks. And they're running GameStop up to $300 a share, and other things, meme stocks, and you know, anything that's out there on the frontier, anything that Kathy Woods mentioned, the stock would go nuts. Well, then, in February of 2020, that was a seminal moment when interest rates went up the first time, which was kind of a warning shot across the bow. Those frontier stocks never recovered. The work from home stocks never recovered. Now we're seeing the next shot across the bow, which looks real. What are you going to do in a rising interest rate environment? Well, you better adjust. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment. The NASDAQ up 20, the Dow down 79. You know, Barry, even with all of this wild gyrations, I believe that this is a year that you can make money in the market by being in the right places. And in particular, avoiding the bad places to be in a market like this. I'll just give you some examples. I'm going to talk about some long and then maybe one inverse ETF that just makes total sense to me. Let's just go to Micron for a minute, okay? Micron's going to make record earnings this year or next year. They're looking for 47% growth in earnings this year. It is a commodity, but there's a chip shortage, and this is a good environment for, it seems like, all kinds of commodities because of the supply chain, the demand that has come back and whatnot. And Micron's got a P.E. ratio of 13, which, you know, I mean, you can't even compare that to like an Amazon. You know, Amazon's getting clocked. Amazon has a very high PE ratio. The forward PE on Micron is 8.2. That's the forward PE on Micron. And Micron, I'm looking at a 5-year growth rate. This is at least the analyst consensus, 23.8. So you've got a forward PE of 8. A growth rate of 23.8, that's a PEG ratio of 0.34. We talk about price-to-sales ratios. It's at 3.57. Maybe we'll put the lid at about 4, okay? I don't know if I'd go any higher than 4 on these tech stocks, but Micron's behaving quite nicely. It didn't get clobbered yesterday. In fact, it was up most of the day. It was breaking out to new highs, and today it's up 1.5%. And Micron in the app, see, the app detects this rotation pretty early on. It started detecting it several days. Micron is number 6 rank overall. Okay, now let's just compare that with Amazon. Okay, Amazon has a P.E. ratio of 64. Micron's 13, and Amazon's forward P.E. ratio is 63.8. So that's just, you know what? I mean, when you apply a higher discount rate to your valuation formula on Amazon, which stock are you going to pick in a rising interest rate environment, Barry?
Well, when it seems currently that, you know, the easy thing to do, right, is just, hey, whatever's high PE, right, is getting tossed out, you know, the old throwing the baby out with the bathwater, right, is,
right.
You know, I mean, that's just kind of where we're at the moment. At some point, right, you would think, you know, there's probably certainly some names there that that probably deserve a higher PE ratio, but right now, you know, the market, you know, simply doesn't care.
And so, I think they got too rich. I think they got ahead of themselves, especially in 2020. And that, it takes a long time for them to, you know, get back to a more normalized type of valuation where they really belong. Okay, now let's talk about FANG, okay? Not Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, and Google. How about a stock with a symbol of FANG, F-A-N-G? So you can tell, Barry, you can tell the clients, Bill likes FANG right now. Okay. It's Diamondback Energy. That's an oil stock out of, I want to say, Arizona. Let's just make sure. No, Midland, Texas. I guess it's the Diamondbacks I'm confused with, the baseball team. FANG is breaking out to a new all-time high today. They're going to make $17.15 in earnings this year. Forward PE, 6.9. I mean, these are the stocks that are sitting in the catbird seat right now, watching as the high PE, they're watching the high meltdown, the high PE meltdown atop their perch, the low PE perch where they're sitting, which, again, is a tale of two markets. And the third one that I'm going to mention here, I kept talking about how many of these darn SPACs went public. And I said, you know what? Most of these SPACs are really third and fourth tier stocks. They're just horrible. They're just garbage. Well, if there's an opportunity, someone will invent an ETF. And there's an inverse ETF on the SPACs. SOGU. S-O-G-U. It's turning into goo, those SPACs. And that ETF is breaking out. Short the SPACs. The name DSPAC, I guess, is the name of it, DSPAC. There's only $26 million in it, but I think there's money to be made there, as a lot of those SPACs are going to implode. And I'll tell you another area that's going to implode and continue to implode, all those small biotechs that went public over the last – they use this loose money environment to bring all these companies public, because everybody was looking for somewhere to put their money. And it didn't matter if it was high quality, mid quality, or garbage. They were buying it all.
Well, and you're combining long duration with, you know, the chance of them actually coming up with something, you know, with a viable product. So you put both of those, and it's the classic definition of speculation.
Absolutely. And there's, like I say, I mean, I think a lot of opportunity in 2022. But everybody's got to ask themselves, what is your advisor doing right now? Are you writing these things down into the ground? Or is there any, maneuvering, taking advantage of some of these areas that are way, way overbought and very vulnerable? Anyways, you can talk to us. Barry, I'm sure you've been talking to a lot of folks recently. The phone volume always goes up a little bit. But, of course, you know, we send out our newsletter every week. What will Bill be saying this week? You might want to take a look at that because it is a tale of two markets. And you don't want to be on the cloudy side. You want to be on the sunny side of the street. Go to GundersonCapital.com to get this week's newsletter, which will be going out to Saturday morning. And if you'd like to set up an appointment with us, if you feel like you're in harm's way right now, you probably are. 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities.
Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.